Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE, and on this podcast, we feature an interview with Michelle Noren, Chief Information Officer for the University of Arizona. Thanks for joining us today. What specific cybersecurity threats does Bring Your Own Device bring to campus?
Well, I think the challenges with bringing your own devices are fairly basic. I would submit that, in a way, educational institutions, at least higher ed institutions, should be used to this concept because of our students. Mm-hmm. Our students bring their own devices all the time. A little bit different with faculty and staff because of the kind of information that they like to interact with or need to interact with. So I think it's really a matter of what kinds of rules or standards or practices can we entice people to follow with their own devices on our campus. Our campus tends to be more open. Our approach to those concepts are to inform people, to educate people about what are best practices. We do have a security policy, so whether it's your own device or the institution's device, there are portions of that policy that apply to everyone, no matter what kind of device you have.
Bring Your Own Device has been sort of a topic that was real big last year. Mm-hmm. Some people were like, losing control. We're scared because we're losing control. I mean, what's the worst case scenario? Is it a virus coming into the system, or is it them taking information away from the system? What's the real fear?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think if you don't have a machine that is up to par with whatever the latest security requirement is, either a patched machine or having software that applies to a particular standard, that can create a vulnerability. So, for example, and this is true for mm-hmm. university-owned machines as well.
Okay.
If a particular machine is not protected well enough and someone installs a keylogger on a machine and it captures their information to access the student system or the HR system, then that's a risk.
Yeah.
That's a way in that maybe if it were an institutional machine, we could have mitigated a little bit better. So there are some risks there that seem to be greater than they would be for equipment that we own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I say that cautiously because depending on your environment as a higher ed institution, if you don't manage all of your equipment, then you're going to have that same scenario. And in a way that, you know, our campus is like that. We don't centrally control all of our devices. It's a distributed environment. So it falls back to the best practice scenario, informing, you know, college IT groups about, you know, what devices need to look like, or informing our researchers or faculty about how their devices should be protected. So it's a little bit similar in that, you know, if you don't have a common practice on your own campus with your own machines, you're going to have the same scenario. But it feels bigger in the space where you don't have any control at all over people's machines.
What skills would you like to see in your security people that are not technical skills?
Well, a major skill in that arena right now is communications. Being able to convey a message about IT, about technology, without using technology words. It's using everyday people words to help folks understand what are the risks? How do you protect yourself? What does it mean to protect yourself? And to do that, you have to be able to understand what it means technically, but you have to be able to convey that in a way that's not technical.
Mm-hmm.
So communication is a huge skill, in my view, a valuable skill in that arena. I would say some other skills that have become a requirement in the last few years, policy development, management, understanding, you know, what things do we want as a hard set rule and which things do we want more as a best practice. So understanding that approach, that language, how to formulate statements that are policy-like, I think that's another important skill.
Well, where does cybersecurity fall in your portfolio concerns? And I don't mean to make you put one higher than the other, but I'm just curious, because you have probably have 20,000 mm-hmm. different concerns running IT at a campus.
Cybersecurity for me is always part of my top 10 list. It does not fall below top 10. Mm-hmm. Now, it might be 10 out of 1 to 10, or it might be 2, depending on, kind of where we're at in that cycle. But for me, it's always a top priority in the top 10. Mm-hmm.
Well, cybersecurity relies a great deal on educating users, obviously. What other aspects of cybersecurity take the most resources and why?
Granting agencies want data management plans now. They want to know, where are you keeping your data? Is it secure? Who has access? Mm-hmm. Is it publicly available? All of those things. Some of the granting agencies are more specific. You have to be more detailed. But others are a little more general for the moment. Some of our scientific areas are used to this, like our space programs are used to providing data plans that are very detailed. That's been a standard for them. But some of our other granting programs in the health arena and some of the humanities areas, they're not used to this kind of requirement. So they're starting out a little bit general in terms of just tell us, what you're going to do with your data and how do you protect it. But we're anticipating that'll become more rigid. It'll become more specific about exactly what they want to see. So that's a huge area where we're having to engage a lot more. Another area where we're engaging a lot more is, and maybe this is tied to this, is in the world in the realm of privacy. There's some blurring there of the lines between security and privacy. We're dealing with this right now with our students. We're informing them about how do you protect yourself in the cyber world? How do you protect your identity? What's best practice in things you might put on the web? Or just if you put that picture up today, how it might impact you later kind of a thing. And so we're having to deal quite a bit with that in terms of educating them, informing them about best practice and approach. But privacy is one of those where we don't necessarily have a privacy officer. We're not sure we need one. We need to formulate some policy around privacy. It's not exactly a technology issue, but technology's the driver for why we need to think about individual privacy or institutional privacy for our brand and things like that. So that's taking some time.
Sure.
And then the other area that is taking some time for us is in the realm of accessibility around can folks who are maybe hearing impaired or sight impaired, how they're able to interact with the devices and the software. Mm-hmm. And so we've actually decided to launch a formal process in conjunction with our Disability Resource Services Center, partnering with our security office, to build that into a more formalized program.
Oh, that's
we have
great.
That already, but there's some new concepts in the technology realm that would benefit from a more strengthened approach there.
So all these issues we talk about, how do you elevate these to the presidents and the execs? How do you talk to them about these issues so they understand the complexities and the importance around some of these issues? Because I'm sure they have other concerns swirling around them. So how do you say, we need these resources and this is why it's important?
I think keeping them continually informed on what are the big risks. Mm-hmm. I would submit that most administrative leaders, presidents, provosts, are aware enough of security to understand that it needs to be addressed. It is a top priority. Mm-hmm. May not understand all the intricacies of it. They may not be able to tell you what exactly does that mean. But they know enough, I think, today to realize this is important. And when my CIO or my security officer comes forward and says, we've got a risk here, I would submit that most of them would hear that initial call for, I need you to listen to this because it is a risk. There's enough examples out there where we've all gotten bitten at different times, we've had to deal with a particular situation, that becomes a learning moment where we can say, okay, this is how this works when we don't protect ourselves. There's enough of those examples, I think, to where generally when you say IT security, they're going to know, okay, that's an important topic that I'm going to need to plug into. I think keeping them informed of what maybe the latest and greatest risks are, I think it's more about how do we position ourselves for protection and packaging that in a way that is not technical. It's more strategy and approach. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for your time, Michelle. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
Great. This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE. Thanks for listening.